Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns over the air and online at koacountry1077.com and at lava1053.com. Now, here's your host, Sherry Bracken.
Aloha, good Sunday morning. Today we have the lovely opportunity to talk with Daryl Olivera. Chief Olivera began his career as a firefighter here in 1980, serving as rescue specialist and paramedic and fire equipment operator and then fire captain. He was fire chief of Hawaii County Fire Department from 2002 to 2011 when he retired. And in retirement, I think he was fully engaged because I know he was teaching, he was working with various fire oversight organizations and more. But then Mayor Billy Kanoi persuaded Daryl Olivera to unretire and become head of Hawaii County Civil Defense in 2013. And frankly, that was a great move for our county because in the last 3 years, it has been completely reinforced that Civil Defense Director is one of the key positions in county government. As you all know, after Chief Olivera took over Civil Defense, he and Civil Defense personnel and first responder teams were challenged by both tsunami warnings and a tsunami, several near hurricanes, and the first hurricane to ever touch land in Hawaii County with Hurricane Azelle, the lava flow that threatened to isolate a large number of people on the island, and then dengue fever. And there were rain and wind events and, of course, fires, and even blizzard warnings on top of Mauna Kea, some of the worst ever. And now, Daryl Olivera is retiring again, and maybe this time for real. Chief Daryl Olivera was my guest for the very first time on Island Issues in 2005 when he was fire chief, and I think this is the 12th time he's been my guest on Island Issues. Good morning. Aloha, Daryl.
Good morning.
You're laughing.
Yes, I am.
12 times, huh?
I didn't realize it was that many.
I know, and you keep coming back for more.
Yeah.
A glutton for punishment. So, Chief Olivera, I do want to talk about your future plans, but before we do that, I want to get an update on various emergency preparedness issues, because as of this instant, you're still our Civil Defense Chief. But first, why are you retiring now? Why now?
Well, I guess first is thank you for the kind words earlier. And as far as why now, you know, I think it was no secret. I made it no secret to everyone that when I came back to work, it was to fill a void temporarily. And 3 years later, it's still temporary. But as far as why retire now, in discussion with the mayor, it's always been a desire to have a transition and allow for the new incoming administrator to be briefed on what we do as far as, I want to say, the relationships is the most important part of the job, especially if it's an applicant or a candidate that's coming from outside our community or outside the system. It's so important to understand how well we work together here amongst all the agencies. And that's just not county government. It spans all levels of government to include our private partners, the utilities, you know, the businesses out there, and how we work with the community. So in anticipation of a change in administration and with the plans to depart at some point, now would be the right time, especially since we have hopefully a gap where there hasn't been anything happening recently. You know, an opportunity to do a transition with someone who might be interested in a more long-term tenure in civil defense.
Chief Olivera, you mentioned just now the relationships with other agencies. Remind us what the real role of Hawaii County Civil Defense Administrator is relative to other first responders such as police and fire, but also state and federal agencies. What does the Civil Defense Administrator need to do relative to being sort of in charge at certain times or working with at other times?
Well, when there's an incident or event that's involving maybe just one or two agencies on island, let's say a brush fire, our role is to support that agency in what they're doing. And that means possibly acquiring additional equipment or resources for them to do the job, but also to pass on information to the community about what's happening with that incident, how it's affecting them, and if need be, if there's evacuations, support that. But when an incident is of much greater or grander scale and affecting a larger area of the community and requires multiple agencies to be involved, our role is to coordinate that response, to bring everyone in, to facilitate the communication between the agencies, and if there's a need for additional resources outside of our local community, to then process that resource request up to state, and if it needs to go up to the federal level. And then obviously if we have impact that results in damages, property loss, etc., then engage in the process of securing assistance from the federal government, from FEMA.
And of course, that's good for the first responders, because the fire chief, the police chief, those first responders really do need to focus on the matter at hand, not on other things.
Right. Like in any disaster, you can imagine that there's going to be multiple moving pieces to that, whether it's search and rescue. You may have looting or crime issues going on at the same time. You have roads that need to be cleared. So agencies have specific missions and objectives in support of the bigger picture. And our role at Civil Defense is to help them coordinate it amongst themselves.
Let's talk about tsunami. April is Tsunami Preparedness Month, and I believe it was selected because April 1st, 1946 was when we had the really horribly destructive and life-taking tsunami that really wiped out Hilo Town. Although, actually, we also had a major tsunami in the month of May, and that was in 1960, and that also took lives. But April is Tsunami Awareness Month, and here on this island, we have had several tsunami warnings. And then, of course, in 2011, we had an actual tsunami, the Japan earthquake that caused the hugely devastating tsunami to them, also impacted the west side of Hawaii Island. That was an eye-opener for many, even first responders who hadn't personally witnessed a tsunami and how they actually work. So, Chief Oliveira, where are we with tsunami preparedness in your view?
I think we're much better off than obviously our community has been historically. When you look at what our community experienced from 46 with having no warning system in place and now having a fairly robust warning system, and then continually updating information as far as the capabilities of Pacific Tsunami Warning Center, how they're able to more quickly identify that threat, and then we can pass that information on to the community. I think the other thing, you know, under Mayor Kinoy's administration, one of the first tasks he set to all of us, I was still at fire at the time, was to conduct evacuation exercises for tsunami and do it island-wide. And I think for the community, especially here in Kona, it was an opportunity for residents and visitors to experience firsthand the challenges with an evacuation of coastal areas. When you look at Ali'i Drive, the challenges with limited Makai to Mauka corridors to move, it requires everyone's cooperation, planning, anticipation, and knowing how you're going to do this. So I would say we're much better off today than we were decades ago, and we continue to make improvements with all of our response plans. So again, I would say we're just in a better position, but we still need to not lose sight of what could happen. It's just a matter of time when it'll happen again, and everyone needs to be prepared for it.
Well, one thing that I certainly observed is that people in general were very much in agreement with, you know, you hear the tsunami siren, you understand what's going on because you listen to the radio or watch TV right away, and they were evacuating when they were supposed to, and I know that helps the first responders.
Definitely, and I think credit to the community. With every one of the events or incidents that I've been part of since 2013, we haven't had any injuries or fatalities, whether it was Izelle, the lava flow, and even with the dengue. I think it's a credit to the community, even with the flood events and high surf events, that I would say they are heeding our messages, taking it to heart, and doing the right thing to protect themselves and their families. So really, a lot of kudos to the community for being good partners in emergency response.
Chief Oliveira, one of the things that you and your team and then everybody on the island really had to deal with was the lava flow from Kilauea Volcano, which came very close to wiping out Pahoa Village and obviously affected a whole lot of people. At this point, what's the latest? What are you concerned about? Mauna Loa and Kilauea, talk about them.
Sure. Well, fortunately, right now, the current eruption at Pu'o is moving in a direction aside or not posing any threat to any communities currently. It's definitely not moving down towards Pahoa. All of the breakouts and activity is probably within about 3 miles of the Pu'o event, moving in more of a north-northeast direction. Again, there's no imminent threat there. With Mauna Loa, again, no imminent threat. But as you saw this past August, the alert level was raised because we see, or HVO is seeing, an increase in activity as far as seismic activity and inflation. So it's a good reminder to all of us. We live in a very volcanic, active area in the world, and we are vulnerable to that risk as well. As recent as yesterday, we were meeting with HVO, getting an update on the status of Mauna Loa with many of our stakeholders. And in addition to the update, one of the reasons for yesterday's meeting was to ask the agencies to go back, look at the current response plan that's in place that was drafted after the 1984 eruption, and continue to provide us with input on bringing it more current, as well as identifying any unique changes. As you can imagine, a lot more infrastructure in areas of potential impact. We learned a lot of good lessons with the Pahoa eruption on how we can now, through HVO's technology and advancements on the science, how they can predict more accurately or with more confidence likely flow paths. So we're continually, with every one of our hazards, updating response plans.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think was a lesson learned in the Pahoa lava flow was the benefit of community communication, which you and Mayor Kanoi and Steve Brantley and Jim Kohikawa from Hawaiian Volcano Observatory totally spearheaded.
It was instrumental, I think, in the community's ability to cope with what was happening, because they could come to a forum and ask their questions, whether they wanted to ask it as part of the open floor, you know, if they felt comfortable with that. But I think having the agencies there to interact with the community one-on-one, especially the team from HVO, they were just incredible with the amount of resources they brought out to the community. Teams of personnel that would set up little working stations or talking tables where residents could go there and ask their questions. And the team just put their answers in such a easy-to-understand way that people walked away feeling much better as far as understanding what the risks were.
Yeah, and I just think in general that new method of community communication was good. And then you all utilized the same thing when we had our next big challenge, which was dengue fever. Yeah. And I want to ask you about that. Just this past week, Wednesday, there was a press conference which noted that we've reached a 30-day mark at that point of having no new dengue cases. But you, Chief Oliveira, talked about some work that's actually going on here now with the National Guard. Talk about that. Let's hear more.
Sure. Well, with any disaster or impact, we move through a cycle. We go from, you know, preparedness into a response mode, into a recovery mode, and into a mitigation and ready for the next one. Same thing with this particular event. We've evolved from a response mode. As was mentioned, we haven't seen any new cases or confirmed cases in a while. Since March 27th was the last case infectious period. But we need to continue to go through a recovery and mitigation. Let's prevent this from reoccurring, or at least the level of reoccurrence, because we're always going to be at risk. And it's reducing that risk through means of cleaning up the community. So for the month of April, the Department of Environmental Management, Solid Waste Branch, open up their transfer stations on every weekend. That's island-wide. We continue to accept tires without any charge at the transfer station. Again, consumer tires, not commercial establishment drop-off. And then we have the National Guard and other resources out in the community this week and last week cleaning up some very unique situations out there. We identified 11 sites that had large amounts of tires. As an example, one residential site had over 1,000 tires on its property.
How could that even be possible? Seriously, 1,000 tires at one residential property?
I think that particular resident had some intentions of building a structure out of tires.
Oh.
So his own little recycling concept, good intentions, couldn't bring it to fruition, and then ended up having a hazard on a property. And there's been others, 300, 400 tires.
Wow.
So they're out there. And how we identify these sites, again, thanks to the community, as part of the dengue response, we encourage community members to call in if you see hazards. We received over 350 concerns or complaints come into our office. We sent crews out on every single one of those complaints. If there were issues that they could mitigate, such as empty outstanding water, treat water that couldn't be emptied with either larvicide or bleach solution. And then they identified 11 sites that we just needed the help from the National Guard. And I can't say thank you enough to General Logan as the Adjutant General, and then the local commander, Mike Rosner, Major Mike Rosner. The Guard has been always instrumental in helping us deal with some of these things.
What did they do? What are they doing with those tires?
They are loading tires into bins, and we have a local vendor, LV Waste, is providing us with bins. You know, they are, again, very generous participant in this. We purchase one bin on the county. They're donating a second bin for free, so we're getting two for the price of one. The Guard is loading those tires. The load is then transported to the Hilo landfill, where it's offloaded and then processed for recycling with the Department of Environmental Management's contract recycler.
Daryl, one of the concerns you expressed very early on in the dengue outbreak was that Department of Health was unable to present a plan on what they had done in the Maui outbreak, which was our last big outbreak. And I know that one of your goals was to create a roadmap going forward for what we do in the next disease outbreak, whether it's dengue again or Zika, heaven forbid, or something else. Is that going to be in place by the time you say aloha?
Definitely. You know, the next step from where we're at right now with moving into the mitigation phase, it allows us to bring in all of the stakeholders that were involved in the response and conduct an after-action review. Take what lessons were learned to then assemble that into elements of a future response plan or a draft response plan. But we definitely want to take what we've learned, the experiences we've had, good and bad, and then share that with the rest of the state as things to consider, as maybe best practices, as well as what they can implement should they get into an outbreak response.
Which, based on everything that I've heard, is going to happen again sometime.
History shows us, you know, I think for our community, this has been another eye-opener, because up until this outbreak, we all lived with mosquitoes as a nuisance. I think we've come to appreciate they're a disease-transporting vehicle, and our community is always at risk because we're a hub for transportation and tourism and everything else. We are a hub for things being introduced into our community. And if it wasn't for the fact that a few local residents, the initial cases that came forward, if they hadn't come forward, we may never have known we had a dengue outbreak until the testing. I think that was the first indication. Three residents with no history of travel got exposed somewhere, and that started the process.
And a brief interruption to remind you, this is Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken. We're here Sundays, 6:30 a.m. Koa Country, 107.7 FM, and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. But you may listen to the podcast of this and other Island Issues interviews online at lava1053.com/podcast/island-issues or koacountry1077.com/podcast/island-issues. And Island Issues is sponsored by Hawaiian Ukulele and Guitar at King Shops and on Ali'i Drive. Today we're talking with Hawaii County Civil Defense Administrator Daryl Oliveira, who is retired as of today. So this is our aloha interview with him. Coming up soon is two talk stories with KTA Superstores Barry Taniguchi and Toby Taniguchi. Not sure if that'll be next week and the week after, but stay tuned to Lava 105 or Koa Country for the update on what's happening next week. Let's get back to Daryl Oliveira. Speaking of emergency plans, I know that based on your background in fire, you know the benefit of having emergency plans in place for everything. So now, as you're officially departing, I say officially departing because we're going to get to the fact I think you're not actually departing, but as you're officially departing civil defense, do you feel like we have emergency plans in place for most everything? Do we need more? What's your analysis?
Well, I think we've identified no less than 26 high-profile threats to our community. This is everything from hurricanes, tsunamis, eruptions, even man-made with potential bomb threats, etc. But we never know what's next on the horizon. So I'd say we do have a response plan or draft response plans for all of these hazards. They constantly need revisiting because things change around us all the time. And it's important because, as you mentioned, going back to the Maui situation, many times we rely too much on institutional memory, that people will be there forever, that the message will get carried on or the lessons will be carried on informally. So the value to documenting it allows for whenever there is a transition in government leadership or staffing, there's something to go back to.
So I'm counting on the next disaster that there will be a plan in place, even if you're not in place.
Correct.
That's good. Chief Oliveira, you're now leaving civil defense. You didn't have a hugely long tenure there, except that you had so many disasters, it's almost beyond one's comprehension. What are your basic reflections on your time in civil defense, on civil defense itself? Talk a little bit about that as you leave. What are you thinking about?
Well, on a humorous note, I've always felt that I attract issues.
caused all these disasters?
Yeah, my departure, it'll be calm after this. Because even with fire and the tenure as fire chief, I think I've experienced some challenges that we've never experienced before. So I consider myself maybe a lightning rod or a magnet for some of these things.
I'm staying away from you in the future then.
Especially in a lightning storm. But looking back, I just feel so fortunate to have had two careers that allowed me to contribute to the health and welfare of our community, to have worked with so many great people in our community, both alongside as peers in government, as well as, you know, like I said, our private partners and community members. It's just been a tremendously rewarding experience going through what we did. And I just hope that I've been able to contribute more to the future safety of our community with helping to develop plans, document lessons learned, maybe even break new ground on some concepts on how we deal with things. But I guess when you ask me to reflect, that's what I'm reflecting back on every day, that, again, I've been very fortunate to have had the opportunities.
Is there anything, Daryl, that you would have liked to get done at your time in civil defense, understanding you came in saying it was temporary and now it's been 3 years? Is there anything you would have liked to get done that you didn't actually get a chance to do?
Yeah, I would say, you know, we learned a lot with Izzell, and as you mentioned, with the Lava Flood community outreach. I just wish there was more time that we could commit to going out and meeting with the community. As examples, when we met with the different community associations in the Puna area after the lava flow, and it was mainly to go back and talk about Izel, you know, one of the first questions we asked the participants is, what did we do terrible at? We felt that we could have done a lot of things better, and we needed to get the community's perspective on what we can do better. And it was everything from better communication, better coordination, and how do we include them in many things. I think walking into Izel, I had maybe a view that we as government, we will take care of things. We will do it all. And that was wrong because we need the community. We need them to be a part of the response, the recovery, and the mitigation. And we came up with an acronym when we went out with the community. It was ICE, I-C-E. And ICE represented how do we integrate and incorporate the community more into our response plans. C being how do we communicate and coordinate better with the community. So an example of an improvement we made there was for many of the community associations that we met with, if they were willing to, we included their board contact information in our mass notification system with a specific grouping, community association. So when we have, let's say, a hurricane event approaching the island, we will send them information early on so they can internally to their association be ramping up their preparedness, getting the word out. So we saw that as better communication and coordination. And the last one, the E, is the empowerment. How do we identify with, again, the community, what they feel they can do to contribute to the different elements of emergency management from mitigation through response? And then how do we help them? So again, as an example, with the communities that are doing the food pantry, when Mattson generously gave the county or our department containers to store supplies for disaster preparedness, we worked with the associations to provide them the containers to support their food pantry programs. Now, that's going to provide for the needs of people on a daily basis that are dependent upon that program, but put those same people that are at risk during a disaster in a much better place and help us with points of distribution after a disaster when we're in the recovery. So I would say if there's a regret, just not enough time to continue that through the rest of the island because we're making progress and it's one interruption after another. As we were making progress, dengue popped up. So these things happen, and I just like to continue or see that continue where we reach out, ask for communities' assistance and support and their ideas and how they feel they can be a part of the process.
Daryl, you said there wasn't enough time. I'm pretty sure if you went to Mayor Canoy this instant and said, I'm staying, he'd say good.
Yeah, no doubt. And I really enjoy.
I'm joking, Daryl. I don't want to put you on the spot, but that does lead us to, Has your replacement been selected yet?
Not yet. The recruitment opened up on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, and it will run for 10 days, and then they'll screen the applications and then identify the qualified applicants, and the process will go through, and then a selection will be made.
I know there's a particular county personnel process that has to be followed, but what kind of qualities are you and the mayor looking for? Because I know you're going to work with Mayor Canoy to help find the very right person. So what are you looking for?
Well, in addition, obviously some experience and knowledge with public safety or emergency management, what I would say would be very important is someone who really engages in partnership and feels very strongly about relationship building. Because as I started this interview, it's all about the relationships, knowing that you can turn to an organization, public or private, ask for help, and how do you assist them or work with them to include them in the response or recovery and take advantage of what they bring to the fight. And it's about building those relationships prior to anything happening, fostering them, and then providing opportunity for building for training and maybe resource and inventory increasing. I mean, it's really down to that. So someone who really, embraces the value of teamwork and relationship building. The other thing is a sense of community. You know, we are one community, one island, and yet we're very diverse across the island with communities within that larger community from not just the environmental issues, but even the people within our community. So you can't always apply the same solution or response technique across the board. Sometimes you need to modify it a little because of the uniqueness of the communities. So a sense of community and, like I said, I would say the strong ones there as well as teamwork.
Daryl, one of the things I think also needs to be included in a new civil defense administrator is the ability to project calm, because you always did that, and it actually is good. If the head guy is calm, then we feel like, oh, things are going to be okay. And I just want to mention, Daryl, my friend Betty DeRoy mentioned that her son Stephen, who was in Boy Scouts with you, said, even when you were a Boy Scout, you projected calm leadership and that you have not changed. So I just wanted to let you know. You were that way all the time, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, thank you. And like I said, I think it's probably a product of genetics because my father's very calm and mellow, and I think I, in many ways, take after him, but appreciate that. And I would agree that someone's ability to maybe just put emotions in check when you're dealing with a stressful situation, and I think I'm able to do that, a lot of credit goes to the team. If you know you got a solid team behind you, you can lean on them, and that's what I've been able to do.
Chief Oliveira, one of the things that everybody in my profession has appreciated about you is you use the media as a true partner, and you are available. You have been available to us really 24/7. You've given everybody your cell phone. The result is also that when you call us and say, I've got a message, it's got to get out, we make sure it gets out. And that's good for everybody in the community, and we all appreciate, because there have been previous civil defense directors who, for some reason, didn't understand the media is how you get the message out to the people. And so thank you so much for that. And make sure the new person knows that, too.
Well, really, it's thank you to you and the rest of the media who have been great members of our team. Again, you folks are part of the team. And we would never have the ability to get the word out if it wasn't for this partnership.
Your official retirement date is listed as May 1st. What happens May 2nd, which is Monday?
Well, we have within our own team at Civil Defense, an administrative officer. We actually have two, John Drummond and William Hansen. So John will be temporarily assigned to the position. I'll still be going into the office and assisting with things on a voluntary basis as long as the mayor and community and the staff don't mind. It's definitely my desire and wanting to help with a transition when they find that person that's going to come in and provide any assistance I can to make their transition as easy as possible, as well as to introduce them to everyone that we work with.
That's great. That's great, because I really do think that's critical. The thing that you've brought is that community relationship, and that is so important. You're right. We've all really seen that in all these disasters we've had in the last few years. So, Daryl Oliveira, you are moving on. What is your next adventure as you see it? Tell us what the next steps are for Daryl Oliveira.
Well, definitely, you know, spend more time at home with the family and catch up on things that I put on hold for a while, home projects. But I don't see myself sitting idle. You know, I was fortunate to be asked by the commander at PTA to be on one of their advisory committees. I was in a meeting today with a group from the School of Nursing asking about being involved in one of their projects. So I think I'll be able to maybe be more involved in some of these volunteer efforts, participating in, I think, other programs that will benefit our community. And I plan to stay busy and engage in these things and be available for any help that, again, friends and coworkers would need.
You know, it's funny. My husband often says to me, you know, the musical Oklahoma, there's a song in it, "She's just a gal who can't say no." And my husband says that to me all the time. I think you're a guy who just can't say no, because I see already you haven't even actually officially departed yet, and you're already getting involved.
Yeah. And again, I think with some of these projects, it's an opportunity to continue to give back to the community. Like I said, I truly am sincere when I say I really appreciate what I've had and how fortunate I've been with the two careers I've had. And a lot of that is the people I've worked with, and the community has always been so supportive, overwhelmingly, to me. So it's an opportunity maybe for me to give back.
Oh, and it's great to have your expertise in the community. But you also do have a little child. How old is your son, Sam, now?
7 months.
7 months. So are you going to sort of be joined at the hip to Sam?
Definitely. We're already doing a lot together, and it's just a nice change and a new direction in life. So
yeah, it's probably good to have the opportunity to get away and sort of talk baby talk and not have to give your official announcement. But actually, you brought Sam into one of your messages about either dengue or lava. I don't remember which, but Sam was actually there.
Yeah, it was on a weekend, and I needed to get into the office and do a message, so I had him with me, and I don't think the community picked up on it, but at one point during the message, he did make a small sound. So again, I did have him with me, and I'm really enjoying it.
I just thought you were crying because it was such a stressful time.
No.
Daryl, it's a big deal when people go into retirement, and sometimes people have concerns or fears. Do you have any of those concerns or fears, even though it sounds like you're just moving on like you always move on? But anything concerning you?
No. This is round two for retirement. I've never considered that I would be not working in some capacity, doing something, even if it's part-time forever. So I don't really have any apprehension about moving in to the next step.
Cool. Is there any particular advice you plan to leave your successor once a successor is selected and he or she is ready to actually take over the job once you've done the training and transition?
I guess for me, the biggest lesson I learned was the need to listen to people. Tried really hard going to meetings, making sure that I didn't walk in there with all the answers, but be ready to listen. And I've learned so much from the community by just whenever I've been in a forum to just listen and hear what they have to say and understand what people may be going through, because everybody's experience is different. You know, recently I was on a flight with a woman who was in Pahoa during the lava flow, and she shared with me that, and I always found her at the meetings to be so upbeat and bubbly, but she told me, you know, I got diagnosed as having post-traumatic stress disorder from the lava flow. But she didn't realize what she was internalizing and going through. And I thought, that's really unfortunate, but glad to hear she was getting some help. And I thought, I would never have thought, because you were always so positive. And she said, yeah, but maybe I just kept it all in. And I think sometimes in emergency services, we don't realize what people are going through, because we become maybe somewhat, not cold and insensitive, but we have to become hardened so that we can kind of keep a separation of our person from the incident. But we still need to remind ourselves, these are people and what they're going through. Everybody's struggling in their own way.
It's time to say aloha, Daryl Oliveira. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I just can't say thank you enough for all the support you've given me and the media's given me and our community's given me. So thank you.
Well, Daryl, I have to tell you, and you know this, first of all, I regard you as a friend now after 12 times of you sitting here and seeing you so often at meetings and events here and there. And it's really been a pleasure. And I so appreciate having been able to work with you and have you treat the media as such a partner. And you've always been frank and open, and you've shared, and that's been really quite a joy. And whoever follows you has huge, huge shoes to fill. And I wish them well, of course, and I can't wait to meet them, whoever they are. But thank you so much, Daryl. I'm going to miss having these opportunities to talk.
No, thank you. I'll still have the same cell number.
Cool. I'll continue to call. And to our listeners, thank you so much for being with us. Today, I was with Hawaii County Civil Defense Administrator and former Fire Chief Daryl Oliveira, who, as of airing this interview, is officially no longer our Civil Defense Administrator, but will still continue to be here. I will see you next Sunday for another Island Issues, and you may listen to this and other past Island Issues podcasts at lava1053.com and at koacountry1077.com. Until next Sunday, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahui ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us, info@lava1053.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.